Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yeah, the second episode of Poorly Read, season 2, part 2. Hot yeah. Shots, part 2. Really good film. At least it was when I last saw it. It's been a while. Yeah, but
been a while since we heard that.
It has been a while since we heard that. I don't think I say that on the Patreon.
Maybe on the Patreon it just has never been a while.
Yeah, I guess so. Or maybe it's always been a while, so it's like...
redundant.
Yeah. It would be like a conjugal visit that you only get once a year in prison. And every time your partner comes in, you're like, it's been a while. And you're like, yeah, I know. It's been 364 days. Just like it was the year before that and the year before that.
And you've done that every time.
Yes. But it's okay. I still love you, Jeffrey.
Despite all the other men I see.
Yes. Despite all the other men that I see you with. When I watch the news and see the footage of you drilling holes in their head and pouring acid into it. but it's okay, Mr. Dharma. You're still the light of my life. What's that song that is like, it has like the light of my life as like the chorus or something?
I don't know.
Or maybe it's like, you light up my life.
It rings like a bell, that, yeah.
I don't know. Sounds like a Luther Vandrossi type song or a Lionel Richie.
Or Marvin Gaye.
Yeah, some old timey black dude. What book are we talking about today? Same as last week?
Same as last week. Which, in case you missed it, is The Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe.
Yeah, the cat, the bitch, and the bread bin. Which is what they call it in certain Indonesian territories. Because it just doesn't translate otherwise.
Anyway, let's get cracking.
So yeah, they end up in Narnia, fucking. They all grope around in the coats and they're like, oh, it's.
There's something hard sticking into my back.
Yes, Peter, what are you doing? Sorry, Susan. Just the being lost in a closet excites me.
Nah, look how queer it is in here.
Yes, I've been so desperate to bust out of the closet, and now here I am. Ironically getting deeper into one, but maybe it's like a black hole where you get so deep into one that you come out the other side and it's even more glorious than you can ever imagine. So really I should be standing behind Edmund. And then Edmund's like, what's that wet hard sticky thing in my bag? And Peter's like, never you mind.
I told you I needed to bust out.
Yeah. Yes, bust out, bust one out, bust off, just bust. All of the B words. How many other B words can we fit into this sentence? Banana.
Bisexual?
Yes.
Edmund?
Bareback?
Just bear.
Anyway, where are we?
Look at all this snow on the floor.
Yes. And then they're like, oh. Baby, I love you. Right? No, they're like, oh, Lucy, I'm so sorry. I'm so fucking sorry for calling you a fucking dirty, lying bitch, Mitch. But you were right. There is snow in the back of the cupboard. And then they start walking. And then Evan's like, oh, shouldn't we be veering more this way towards the lamppost?
Yeah, and Peter's like, aha.
Ah, you have been here before.
Gotcha, you little shit.
And then Susan says, ah, you're a dirty little prig. And I was like, what's a prig? I guess it was just what prick was before, like, it turned into prick.
Yeah, like a prig stick.
What's a prig stick?
Like a prit stick.
Oh, prit stick. I thought you said prig stick, and I was like, what the fuck is a prig stick?
I did say prig stick.
Oh.
It's what children used to stick things together back in the olden days.
Yeah, so just a bit of damp wood and a plaster.
Yeah, a prig stick.
Ah, buy it now with your Oxford mathematics set. Anyway, And then Lucy's like, we really should go and see Mr. Tumnus. I don't know why. I guess just because that's the only place she knows. She was like, we can go there and see him.
Yes, and have tea and cakes and sardines on toast and all manner of other things on toast.
Yeah, and then Peter just fucking vomits everywhere. He's like, why would anyone want
slaps her hard across the face.
Sardines on toast, you dirty little prig. Anyway, they fucking get there and it's been raided and there's a note on the wall.
It's been bloody fucking desecrated.
Yeah. And then it says, Dear Stan, oh, I'm sorry I didn't get back to you sooner, man. You know, I've just been busy.
I hear your girl's pregnant. How far along is she?
Oh, shit, it was you.
Damn.
And then Susan's looking around and she's like, oh, look, the tea's gone cold.
Susan's wondering why.
It's okay though.
It's not so bad.
Should we carry on this joke? Like the fucking falling snow is clouding up the window. Cause Tumnus got taken away. And even though he might be dead, I think I will still use his chair. Because it's cozy and I like his scarf. It warms my mouth.
See, I knew we hadn't extracted everything out of it yet.
Oh, God. See, children, if you don't go through the black hole, you just don't know what's on the other side.
Yeah. But yeah, there's a note. It says, Tumnus has been arrested, etc., etc.
Yeah, for fraternizing with humans and not telling anyone about it. He's been arrested on behest of the Queen of Narnia.
And for being a homosexual.
Yes. He's a dirty little fawn and now he's been taken away. And now Narnia's worked much better for it. So they're like, fuck, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And then Lucy's like, it's my fault he's been arrested. We need to go save him.
We have to do it. Susan wants to go home.
Yeah, which is, like, the sensible choice, but as well, like, Peter's like, he did save our sister. Well, not save her. She wasn't, like, she wasn't in present danger, really.
No, but it's like, his arrest is all because of... She's all like, it's all on my account. He charged everything to my debit card.
Yeah, like, I mean, it is all to do with her. It is because of her that he got arrested, because he didn't turn her in, basically.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, I wonder if anyone can give us a sign. And then they see a fat robin on a tree.
A fat robin. Weighing down the tree branch.
Yeah.
It's like, oi.
He's like, holy rusted metal, kids. Have you seen Mr. Tumnus? And they're like, no. And he's like, damn. Probably my whole family didn't die in the circus when I was a kid. And they're like, you're not the kind of robin that I was expecting. You have a red top and a cape on. And a bolero mask. And I don't know if Tom is getting my Batman reference or not.
I only at the very last second, but okay. Yeah.
Right, so to anyone listening, whenever my jokes get a bit too descriptive, it's because I'm looking at Tom and I'm like, Tom's not getting the reference.
Yeah.
So I'm like, if I keep on describing aspects, at some point he's going to click.
And sometimes it does.
Yeah, they see a fat robin on a tree and they're like, well, maybe he can help because some animals in Narnia can talk.
So we assume. We haven't met any yet, but...
Yeah. Well, Lucy has.
She met Mr. Tumnus. Is he an animal? I guess he is.
He was a satyr slash fawn slash the goat man of Jersey. Which is a myth slash legend slash maybe serial killer. Anyway. But yeah, no, I think Mr. Tumnus had said that some of the animals, like the trees and shit, are, you know, that's it. Because Lucy said, oh, how do we know that? Or someone was like, or Edwin was like, well, how do we know that he can be trusted? And then Peter's like, well, I've never seen a robin who didn't look like it could be trusted. Look how swollen and red his chest is. He looks so pleasant and Christmassy.
Yeah.
In fact, I just want to pick him up and put him in my mouth, like Michelle Pfeiffer did in Batman Returns. And Venom might just do it. So he grabs Robin, puts it in his mouth, and he's like, mm. And then Susan slaps around the back of the head, and then Robin flies out. And he's like, sorry, I don't know what got into me.
But I think he liked it.
Yes. Look, he left a little Robin poop in my mouth.
Tastes like he wants us to follow him.
Yes. In fact, look, he's shitting even more. He's leaving a trail.
Open your mouth, Susan.
In fact, let me write that down. That sounds like it could be a good lyric for a band of four men from Liverpool who will emerge 20 years from now. So they fucking follow the Robin while Peter's thinking up more lyrics to the song. Like, oh, open your mouth, Susan. You gotta let it all go in. I won't put it in your vagina because you're Catholic and it's a sin. So I'm gonna put it in your mouth, put it in your butt. Yeah, 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 yeah. And that's number one for 2 weeks in September of 1963.
I don't even know what song you're doing.
I'm not. I'm just trying to, like, lampoon the Beatles. Yeah. Or I could try and do a version that's like, hey, ya, which is it, like, in itself, like, a lampoon of the Beatles, I guess. Susan, open your mouth. Chaka-chaka-chaka, ooh, yeah. Let it travel down south. Taste it. Taste it like a rubber shit in your mouth.
The old expression.
Who was, like, hot at the time? Twelmar, Audrey Hepburns, and my Marilyn Monroe's I am your neighbour, says I'm not, because I live very far away in London. And they're like, oh, this will never work. And then they throw his 8-track recording out the window and say, never come back to Sony Records again. And Peter's like, sorry. Anyway, sorry, I meant to be in Narnia.
Yeah, yeah. Oh shit, we're supposed to be following a Robin.
Yeah, jumps in a cab, drives back to the professor's house, takes 90 minutes. Runs upstairs, dives head first into the wardrobe, catches up with his sisters, and is like, oh, sorry.
You can close your mouth now, Susan.
Yeah, it turns out it won't work.
Right, catch me up. What are we doing? What are we doing? What's...
Anyway, yeah, so they follow this Robin who's, like, jumping from branch to branch, and it leads them to a beaver.
Yes, but Edmund's all, like, muttering to Peter, like, how do we know this Robin isn't a prick? And by the way, Does anyone know how we get home? And Peter's like, oh, shit.
Yes, I don't have a compass.
Do you, Edmund, have a compass?
Well, I did, but it's all sticky and wet. Now I can't see what it says on the front anymore. It says, come pass, Edmund. It's okay. You don't need the photo ID. I know who you are. Now bend over and let me swipe this card. anyway, yeah, chapter 7, Dinner with the Beavers.
A Day with the Beavers, I've written.
It's Dinner with the Beavers for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah. Do you want to double check it, Tom?
I do.
Prig.
Chapter 7, A Day with the Beavers.
Mine says chapter 7, Dinner with the Beavers.
And it is back on this side of the door.
Oh, do you know, I'm getting confused, because chapter 8 is what happened after dinner.
Yeah.
It's not a day with the beavers. They spend like fucking, it's like a couple of hours.
They spend the day with them.
Ugh. Should be an evening with the beavers.
But by the evening, they're running away.
Yeah, but they meet them in the evening. Right?
Do they? I guess it is evening, because by the time Edmund runs away, the sun's going down. Anyway, this is boring.
Yeah, and even with the beavers.
The point is, we should always trust my notes.
Yes, as Tom always gets the chapter title wrong and none of my references. Anyway, so... they follow this beaver and is hopping along all soaking wet and dripping everywhere. And then
Susan,
like,
put it away.
She's like, I can't help it. Ever since I stepped through the wardrobe, it's taken on a life of its own.
Look at it hopping along.
Yes, look. How's it managing to still be part of me, yet so far away? Oh, I see. It's being connected by a very stretched out and painful version of my uterus. Let's hope it doesn't go too far. I might die. Anyway, Susan's disembodied vagina leads them through a thicket.
And then whispers to them in a dark hole.
Yes. Anyway, the beaver they follow shows them Lucy's handkerchief, and because they're like, how do you know we can trust you? And he's like, look, here's my token of good faith. Mr. Tumnus gave this to me when he thought that he might have been arrested. He said, show this to the little girl and she will believe you. And so I'm showing it to you now.
Also, they say Aslan is on the move.
Yes. Aslan is what I call my poos.
That's what I say to Mrs. Beaver when I'm having a bowel movement.
Yes, it's why we need to get home quick. When I say Aslan's on the move, I've got exactly 15 minutes before he's out in the open. Spreading his messages and browning everything up. Just like the Jackson 5.
Yeah. Which in this time period, we disapprove of.
Yes! Fucking Ben. Oh god. Anyway, so they get back to the beaver house, which is obviously a dam, and they head down, and as they head down, Edmund sees the two hills where the queen's palace is.
Yeah, and he starts fantasizing about going off to be a king and eat Turkish delight.
Turkish delight, which is his other lover.
It's the name of the maneuver that they carry out together in the bathhouse.
Yes. Oh, what would that be?
That must be... Turkish baths are a thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so the Turkish delight must be... That must be a thing that happens.
Yeah, but it has to be something more interesting than just getting, like, blown on the side of a pool.
Yeah, just like a fucking wank job in a bath.
Yeah. It has to be that, like, you're wearing a turban that has, like, a feather in the front, and you've got, like... Do you know those, like, sabers that are, like, always in, like, Arabian Night films?
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're thinking of, like, the guards in Aladdin, right?
Yeah. So maybe you hold that to the person's throat as you're blowing them, so there's always that, like, just element of risk. So you have to come, but keep perfectly still, otherwise your throat will get slit. That's why it's so delightful.
And then it becomes Turkish remorse.
Anyway, beaver hole.
Beaver. Yes, beaver hole. They go inside and Mr. Beaver and the boys go outside and fish for some trout.
Yeah, Mr. Beaver's very good at fishing for trout. He just plunges his hand in, pulls it out, and it's covered in fish. And he's like, that's how you do it, boys. Scaly, fishy, slimy.
Isn't that right, Mrs. Beaver?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, dear, quite right.
Oh, quite right, dear. I don't know what this accent is, but I'm gonna keep on doing it. My accent is more in my shoulders than it is in my mouth.
Yeah, it's true, it is. Just imagine every syllable, the shoulders like moving fully up to fully down.
Anyway, Mrs. Beaver's like cooking dinner and they're all like, oh, let's just have dinner, I guess, with these beavers we've just met.
Yeah.
And Susan's like, thank God, because mine's getting very hungry.
Look at it, pouncing around.
Yes, look at it. And it's just standing in the corner, just like drooling like a red-eyed wolfhound, while it's waiting to be petted and then eventually reattached. But Susan's like, no, I like you being far away. Means that when you bleed, I can just stick you outside and not pay attention to you for a week. And then when you're finished, then you can come back inside. But not right now, it's snowing. You'll make it all red and dirty. And then they'll definitely find us. They'll be like, follow the red beaver. They're like, who's that? Ah, oh, it's this mythical being. It's the daughter of Eve. And they'd say, when it bleeds red on the snow of the beavers, that's when you bring your golden retrievers. They'll find the blood. They'll find the muff. They'll find the children who will fuck up stuff. That's why the queen wants to kill you, says Mr. Beaver. They're like, oh no, Susan. Your beaver's going to ruin everything. Quickly get it inside. And she runs outside to get it, but it's gone off into the woods somewhere. She's like, oh no, it must have heard the call of the were-beaver.
Yeah.
Damn it, now what I'm going to do, I need to urinate as well. I wonder how this is going to work. So she goes to the commode, sits down, and it just sort of just comes out as like a massive gush, just missing the pot completely. And she's like, fucking hell. I really wish I hadn't come into this wardrobe. And then Mrs. Beaver's like, don't worry, dear, I've got a spare. And she picks out a nice spare beaver from her mother's antique beaver collection and says, here, try this one on for size. So Susan does, and she's like, whoa, 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 whoa. She's like, ooh, maybe not that one.
Oh, it's a feisty one.
Yeah, she gives her another one, and she says, give this a go. So Susan puts it on, gives it a wave, and then a vase blows up. She's like, not that one. And then the beaver goes back to the closet, and then she's like, I wonder. And she picks out another beaver. She gives it to Susan. And a beam of light just cast out upon her as a wind kicks up. And then Mrs. Beaver is like, ah, how curious. And Susan's like, why? And she's like, it's so curious that this is your beaver. When his brother gave you that skull.
Oh, Jesus.
God. Fuck you. So yeah, they all sit down and have dinner. Potatoes, trout and butter.
Potatoes and trout and butter and marmalade pudding.
Hey guys, so we're glad you're enjoying the podcast so far, and me and Tom obviously have a lot of fun recording it for you, but we are completely indie, man, so we unfortunately don't make any money off the episodes we create for you. So if you'd like to show us some support, the best way to do that is by signing up to our Patreon, where we host the exclusive series Poorly Read at the Movies, where we give the poorly read treatment to your favourite films. It's only $3.99 a month, and you get an episode on the first and third Friday of every month. So sign up and have even more totally inappropriate giggles at patreon.com/poorlyread. Then they start talking about, like, how Aslan's back.
Yes, and we move into chapter 8, what happened after dinner.
Yes.
I said, Mr. Tumnus has been taken northward. And you know what that means?
Yes, Peter says. He's been taken right up the jacksie. By a pack of wolves, no less. Oh, so many red lipsticks everywhere. Anyway, he's, and Mr. Beaver's like, he would have been like the witch that turns people into stone and stuff.
And they're like, oh, can we go and rescue him? And they're like, oh, no.
And Mrs. Beaver's like, no, one gets into the house and comes out alive. And then Peter says, this fawn saved my sister. We need to save him. And then Mr. Beaver says, Aslan's on the move, and that's he's been away for a long time, but he's come back, and he will save the world and put all to right. Right. I'll just say right in that accent. Right.
What accent are we doing, lad? Yorkshire accent like that. Put all to right, I think.
That's it.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Canine crunchies. Anyway, so Mr. Beaver says, I'm going to lead you to Aslan. And they're like, who's Aslan? They're like, he's a lion, of course. Rawr. And they're like, they're to meet Aslan.
Like, oh, wow.
Ooh, fucking hell. I like a lion, especially the chocolate bar. That hasn't come out yet, but don't worry, in 30 years. So, the beaver says, there's a rhyme about Aslan coming back and making it spring again. And there's another about the four humans sitting on the thrones of Caer Paravel. And everything being good again. So things must be drawing to their end. I'm sorry about my accent going a bit weird. I wasn't born here, you see. I was born in Kuala Lumpur. And one of them's like, you know this queen bitch? Is she human? And the beaver goes, no. She's from Adam's first wife, Lilith. Which is a... And I think, like, an actual biblical reference, because Lilith is, like, a villain in the TV series Supernatural, who was, like, the first demon. So I think that might be, like, a real, like, thing.
Huh.
But I don't know enough about the Bible, so...
Me neither.
She's like, yeah, Lilith, she was one of the djinn, and on the other half, the witch is half giant. Much like some other fictional characters, when you can't imagine how someone so normal size and someone so huge as a giant would procreate.
Yeah.
All I can imagine is that Lilith sat atop that giant and just let whatever splashed upon her make its way up. A bit like a weary traveller sitting on top of a geezer. And by geezer, I mean geyser and not a bloke can meet down the pub. Anyway, that's why she's bad all the way through. So Mr. Beaver says something about half humans and anything that's half human or looks...
Yeah, anything that looks like it might be human but isn't, you watch out for it.
Yeah, and then I was like, well, what about Mr. Tumnus and, like, half the other, like, good characters we see in this book?
Yeah.
Because they're all, like, got human bits.
It's almost like huge, sweeping generalisations like that are hardly ever accurate.
Yeah, well, there's a lesson that we can all learn from, guys. Not me, because I'm perfect and never say anything wrong.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Beaver says, there's a prophecy that says once the thrones at Caer Paravel are taken by them, it'll mean the end of the Queen's life. And that's why we have to be cautious.
Yes, if she knew there were four of you, she'd be here swinging her chain around and whipping you all into a frenzy.
Just then, Lucy notices that Edmund's died.
Yeah.
She's like,
oh, I say, what's happened to Edmund? He's fucked off, love.
Yeah. Anyway, he's fucking just gone. And the kids said they need to look for him. And Mr. Beaver's like, there ain't an obvious where we are. And they're like, what? He's like, ain't it obvious where everyone's gone?
Sorry, I'm from Kuala Lumpur.
Ay, caramba. he's like, he's gone to the witch's house. And they say, no, we can't have done. And Mr. Beaver's like, oh, he's betrayed us all.
He had the look of one who's eaten her food.
Yeah, he's had a good munch of a Turkish delight, he has. And anyone who's had a Turkish delight with whatever that foot and sword is pushed against your throat. Yeah, they're like, oh, we can't have done. But then they're like, no, he's betrayed you all. The children suddenly feel quite certain that that's exactly what he'd done. And then Mr. Beaver's like... has he been here long before, and did he tell you who we met? And they're like, yes, he has, and no, we didn't. And then the beaver says, yeah, when he's met the witch and he's joined her, so he had the look of someone who's eating her food. He had the look of someone who's eating her muff. All strained, looking with his eyes pointing in opposite directions. And just a weird, froggy, leaky bit of saliva running down his chin. That's what they all look like, you see. I mean, sometimes she just rides around with her legs up in the air and her fucking coat pulled back and just the stench invites you in and you just start to have a little nibble and then you're never the same afterwards. Before this, I wasn't a beaver. I was a 6-foot son of Adam. But I had a little munch of her Turkish delight. And now I'm a beaver from Kuala Lumpur. Ain't it funny? It's all right though, Mrs. Beaver nursed me back to health. She used to be a politician, but she had a little munch herself. And now look at her making her potatoes in her marmalade sponge.
She's a beaver as well. I don't rightly know where she's from.
She says she's from Ecuador, but every time she says it, she shouts it and then goes da 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 afterwards. And we get all confused, you see. Anyway, so that's where your brother's gone. Yeah, so like, look, should we go and get him? Then Mrs. Beaver's like, no, you need to stay away from the castle. And she'll be using Edmund as bait to lure you in. And then Mr. Beaver's like, look, what did Edmund hear about Aslan before he went? And then they say they need to leave quick because the queen will be on her way. And then I'm like, if the fucking beaver saw that fucking Turkish delighted look in Edmund's eyes, why the fuck did he bring up anything about Aslan in front of Edmund?
Yeah, I know what you mean, but it's like, what was he going to do? Be like, well, I'm not going to... He's got stuff he needs to tell them, you know?
Yeah, but he could have sent Edmund on, like, a task, or Mrs. Beaver could have been like, Edmund, could you help me? Or he could have been like, oh, Edmund, can you help me get some firewood from outside? You look like you've got strong arms. Then Edmund would have been like, yeah, he chose me instead of Peter because he thinks I've got stronger arms. So he would have liked that. And then Mrs. Beaver could have been like, look, I think your brother's under the thrall of the witch's beaver. So, not beaver like us, but beaver like...
Beaver like Susan's.
Yeah, Susan Beaver. How are you finding that beaver anyway, Susan? Well, you know, it feels quite funny.
This feeling inside?
Yes. Inside. And yeah, and then she could have told them and then said, so just don't say anything yet because your brother, we think he might be under the thrall. But anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, that would have been smart, but you know, maybe we don't have any reason to believe these beavers are smart people. Maybe they're just fucking idiots.
That's true. I mean, if they were smart, they wouldn't have eaten the witch's beaver.
They'd still be humans.
Chapter 9. The witch's house.
In witch's house?
Yeah.
In the witch apostrophe S house?
Yeah. La maison du magique femme.
That was a fair effort. Give you that one.
Fucking hell. Edmund hadn't liked him for dinner. I could only think about a Turkish delight.
Yeah, he fucking hated that beaver's sticky marmalade pudding.
Oh, yeah. Don't even like it. Even if I did sit on it, squidge it until it went up into my rectum. Anyway, so once he heard everything about Aslan, he slipped away and disappeared to find the White Witch.
Yes.
Not the Black Witch. The White Witch. Because the Black Witch would never appear in this book.
Well, only as a villain. Which the White Witch also is.
Yeah, so maybe the Black Witch would ironically not be a villain, and I bet he would have hated writing that. Like, I should have made it the other way around.
Oh, why did I do this?
Damn it! Let me throw the whole book into the fire. What else can I write about? What about a boy who gets lost in the jungle? Damn it! Okay, what about a small man who finds a ring? Damn it! Anyway, so yeah, he's fucking... He's walking through the snow. Walking through the snow.
For bloody ages.
He's convinced himself the witch is good. But deep down inside his heart, he know it is not true. Woohoo. Which is true. He knows it's bullshit deep down. But he just fucking wants Turkish delight.
He's a slave to that Turkish delight. He's a fiend for it.
Yeah, he feels like Turkish delight. And he finds it difficult to get to the house, but he fucking finds it, didn't he?
Bloody finds the house, he does. The iron gates are open and he sees an enormous lion and shits the bed.
All that marmalade pudding comes rolling down his leg.
Yeah. And then he's like, oh, it's just a stone lion, and smears his shit all over its face.
Yes. It's like, it's okay, that's what you do back in my country. We see a lion, we put shit in his face, and then we hope he doesn't bite it. If it doesn't bite, we give it a bow, and then we put a monocle on it, and it becomes our patron saint of dandies.
A dandy lion, you see.
Yeah. Don't worry, I won't blow on you and make a wish.
unless you ask very nicely.
Right, so fucking hell. Yeah, there's like, he realizes it's stone and there's other stone. There's the whole courtyard is full of stoners.
Stoners.
They're like, hey, yeah, man.
Dude, there's a little kid walking through the yard.
Whoa. Ah, man. It's so weird. Like, I thought we was going down to the coast to ride the Zuma waves, man. Instead, we're in a fucking frozen courtyard.
Courtyard.
Anyway, fucking hell, he sees a stone wolf that he tries to step over, but it's a real wolf, and the wolf goes, rawr, rawr, rawr.
Says, rawr, hello.
Hello, dear.
Hello, dearie.
And what have you come here today to ask?
And everyone's like, oh, I'm so sorry, sir.
Oh, I'm not sir, I'm a lady.
I'm so sorry, miss.
No, I didn't mean in that way.
Okay.
I'm just, you know, figuring stuff out.
I mean, I have a penis, but I've decided I'm non-binary. And everyone's like, what?
I'm just here to see the witch. Can I? No, let me tell you all about my penis.
How my penis doesn't define my gender. How my gender is defined by what's in my head. Therefore, you cannot define it. And I would rather be referred to as a they-wolf and not a man-wolf or a she-wolf.
Here, I'll read you my thesis. Sit down.
Yes. It's called How the Boy-Wolf Become a Girl-Wolf and is Now a They-Wolf. It's called Gaboysha They-Wolf. Brackets, I am not my penis. And then everyone's like, I just want to see the witch. He's like, fine! But here, I'll leave this here. If you get curious, just have a little leaf through. Everyone takes a cursory glance, then throws it into the snow. Fucking wolf comes back, says the witch will see you now.
Yes, he comes in and she's all like, how dare you come by yourself?
Yes, you're meant to let me help you. Here. Jerky, jerky, jerky. And he's like,
Let me get my blade up to your throat. I know how you've been craving it.
Yes, I thought you would excrete more than this, but I guess one fifth of a vial will have to do for now.
Here, have a glass of orange juice and a sandwich and we'll try again.
I mean, yes, if you want sardines on toast, I guess I could get someone to rustle some up. And I don't know why you wouldn't.
Marmalade pudding? Are you mad?
Are you mad? Marmalade shouldn't even be a preserve. It's just oranges made all squishy. And not even good bit. The rind. What other fruit should be made into a jam? Maybe like kiwi. I bet that tastes rank.
I don't know. Is there such a thing as pear jam?
I think so. I think they're like a band from like the 80s. Anyway, she's like, fuck, fine, whatever preserve you want, I'll put it up there. Where's your brothers and sisters?
Yeah.
And he's like, I've come alone. And she's like, I don't want your harmonies.
Yeah. They're really nearby in the beaver's house.
No, don't do the ghosty Enya-ish bit. But she's furious and she's like, fuck. And then Edmund tells her everything about Aslan. And then the queen says, get the sledge ready and use the harness without the bells.
Yes, we don't want any bells here.
Yes. I'm trying to get to a joke about bells. Nothing's really coming.
Hey.
All over my face.
There we go.
There we go. Cheap bell cum joke.
Are you happy now?
Are you happy now? Are you happy that you made me do that? Fucking hell. Anyway, I believe that is the end of the episode.
I believe.
In Life After Love. And then the witch is like, what did you say? And everyone's like, nothing. She's like, what did you say? And he's like, I mean, I can feel something inside me say, I really don't hear a story. And she's like, sing it a bit louder. And he's like, ugh.
I put this effect on your voice.
Well, I know that you are from here. And then the witch is like, I love that song. Because I know that you are strong. And then everyone's like, oh yeah, I don't need you anymore. And then the witch is like, I don't need you anymore. And then shoots him in the head.
And then puts on a wig, runs back through the wardrobe, and goes on to become Cher 40 years later.
Yeah. Oh, well, to be fair, like, the Cher show was only like, what, like fucking not even 20 years after this, I don't think.
Was it? When was the Cher show?
So, was it the Cher show or the Sonny and Cher show? I think it was the Sonny and Cher show. It was in like the mid 60s, I think.
Oh, shit. Yeah, 20
and
years.
So when she was like 19, 20, and she had that, and that's when she first became famous, and that's when she started doing the music and stuff.
Yeah.
So she's been doing it for a really long time, and then her sort of like second wave was like, I think, the wave that we know with like the Turn Back Time and the Shoop Shoop song.
Right, yeah. I didn't even know she existed before that. I assume she was just in a kind of chrysalis and then got brought out in the 80s.
No, like her and like when Tina Turner left Ike and stuff, like Tina Turner was like, used to be like a frequent guest on her show and stuff in the, I think she was like late 60s, 70s, like going into the 70s, Cher. So all yeah, right. But they were, she was, so she's like always been famous basically. There's like pictures of her and like Diana Ross and like Elton John when he was young, or at like Studio 54 and shit. It's like really cool to like see.
Oh, nice. Well, yeah. That's been this week's edition of Cher and Cher Alike.
Yeah. We do talk about her an inordinate amount. Yeah. And the ironic thing is that like neither of us are like fans.
Yeah, no,
like...
we just said I didn't even know she was a thing before the 80s.
Like, I like her in like a general way that I like a lot of singers and stuff, but yeah, fucking hell. Anyway, come back next week for more lions and witches and wardrobes and renegade beavers.
Yeah, we are at the end, aren't we? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, get the harness with no bells on. And then
yeah,
obligatory bell end
come
joke.
Come over my face. Yes.
Cool.
Come face. Bells on. Can you imagine if that was my X Factor audition? So what have you got for us today?
I suppose my song called it's called Come Face Bells On.
Yeah. Okay, in your own time, says Cheryl. And then I go, come face. Bells on.
Thank you.
And then Louis like, I really, really like it. Like, I think you got the X Factor.
I love your vibe. I love what you're doing. Love your energy.
And I love what you're saying. Like, everything you're saying is right up my alley.
And you can be saying it right up my alley.
Go on, go on, go on. And then Simon's like, I just don't know if you have what it takes. Like, listening to you is like listening to someone pull the chain in a dirty 1970s toilet. And I was like, what if I put like a little bit of like spin on it? And then he's like, okay. So I'm like, okay. No bad. Huh? Yes. And he's like, I love it. I want you to be in my team. And I'm like, ah, oh, thank you so much. You're through to the judges' houses. And I run out screaming like, Mom, I'm fucking through to the judges' houses. Oh my God. And I get to the judges' houses. And I'm in Cheryl's team. And then she's like, so what have you got for us today? And I'm like, I've got a new song. It's called Come Face Sleigh Bells.
I'm thinking for a Christmas album.
Yeah. And she's like, okay, when are you ready? And I'm like, I'm ready. And she's like, okay, when are you ready? I'm ready. Okay, whenever you're ready. Ching, 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 sleigh bells, come face, sleigh bells, come face, sleigh bells, ching, 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 ching.
You've not got sleigh bells, you're just doing that.
Yeah, of course. Where will I get sleigh bells from?
Cheryl doesn't have sleigh bells in her house.
Yeah. And I walk out of the room and she's like, oh, I don't know. I think he's got something, but I just don't know. And then one of the other girls that I remember who she's friends with is like her guest judge, and they're like, yeah, it's like, I know what you mean though. But I think we should put him through. And then they put me on the live show, and then there's all like the special effects and like the dance routines and shit. And it's like, pew, 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 sleigh bells, come face, come face, sleigh bells. Yeah, lasers. And then Louis's like, oh, I really liked it.
Yeah, I love your energy, I love what you're doing.
Yeah, oh, I think you've got what it takes to get right to the end, to go all the way to the final. You've got the X factor. And then Simon's like, I don't know what to say. I guess, come face slave bells.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about you in the beginning, but I have to say you've really turned it around.
Yes. What's your act called, by the way? Come face slave bells? Oh. So your first album's going to be called Come Face Sleigh Bells. And then Come Face Sleigh Bells. Yeah. Or Come Face Sleigh Bells. And the album title is Sleigh Bells Come Face. And what's the album cover going to be? Well. And then Dermot comes on and he's like, we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves, guys. It's only the first live show.
Yeah, you've never asked any other contestant that question ever.
Yeah, if you were to vote for Come Face, yes. Sleigh Bells, text come to
2. Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Well, that ended up being in a very extended bit. All right, and that brings us to the end of the episode. Brings us elegantly to the end of the episode, I might say. But reach out to us on Instagram and Twitter, if you so desire, at PaulieRedPod on both things.
Yeah, and if you want to fucking hear more of our sultry, sexy voices, then visit us on our Patreon, where we give the Paulie Red treatment to your favourite movies twice a month on the first and third Friday of every month. It's $3.99, and we give you your bloody money's worth, so do it. That's patreon.com/PaulieRed.
We sure do. And if you want to send us anything you bloody like via email, we are PaulieRed@gmail.com.
Yes, yeah, so without further ado, I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Narnia! Don't go there!